Joining us now by phone, Larry Weber. Good morning.
Good morning to you, too. How you been doing?
Oh, fabulous. Just fabulous. We got rain.
No kidding. Yeah, there's been quite some changes since we last spoke. When we last spoke, we were in the midst of that really windy time that came across us both on Friday and Saturday of last week. And Friday's temperature of a week ago yesterday was 80 degrees. And that south wind, and that south wind continued all night and into the next day. And the temperature stayed very warm, and then we started finally getting some rain. Now, you put all those together, and we had a tremendous amount of leaf drop. And you look around at the landscape now, it's just a world of difference than it was 10 days ago. So, you know, it happens every year in October. I usually count on the leaves pretty much all gone by the time we get to the 20th. We still have some trees lingering with leaves. There's still some yellow hanging on with sugar maples, but it's mostly with the aspen. Matter of fact, on my walk this morning, I saw a couple of aspen that still have green leaves. Aspen are always a little bit later. There are many oaks that continue to have leaves. There are going to be even some oaks that have leaves all winter. That we'll talk more about that at another time. And then there are the other trees, non-natives that are planted in our yards, things like weeping willow and lilac. They continue to have their leaves all the way through the month. And then out in the swamps, we have tamarack. And tamarack, I always consider a phase three of the leaf color. And tamarack puts on its show a little bit after the deciduous trees are done. The coniferous tree, the coniferous tamarack takes over at that time and puts on a yellow golden glow. Now, I've been by some swamps that already have the yellow golden glow, but I passed one yesterday that was almost all completely green with tamaracks. So they're often a little bit later, once again, somewhere around the 20th. So next week we'll be no doubt talking about the glow of the tamaracks. We did get some rain. Now, there wasn't a tremendous amount. There was even some thunder showers. It's going to be interesting to see if this is the last thunder showers that we're going to have for the season. We usually have our last thunder showers during October. And the amount of rain made quite a difference with the fire hazards and so forth. But like I say, Duluth reported about an inch of rain in the past week, which was just a tremendous amount compared to what it was in the previous 2 weeks. But we didn't get that much here. And so we're going to remain to be seen how that's going to pan out. I might also mention that in the forecast today, I noticed for early next week, there is even snow in the forecast. So we'll pay to see if that's going to be happening as well. We are now down to 11 hours of daylight, very rapidly getting shorter, and the darkness was made less dark this week by the full moon. I hope you had a chance to get out and take a look at it. I walked a couple times out in the full moon. And there appeared to be a very bright star right near the moon just 2 days ago, and that is the planet Jupiter. The planet Jupiter has been with us for a long time now, very bright in the sky, and it continues to do so. Migration is still going on in many different ways. This week, I came across flocks of grackles, a type of blackbird, and they always settle down for a while. They do a tremendous amount of feeding. The ones I saw this week were in a cornfield, but since then I have seen them in a variety of other places. If they're not feeding, they're making a lot of noise. One year I had a bird feeder going in October, and a flock of grackles discovered it, and they did not leave until everything was totally gone from the bird feeder. That's the way they are when they keep moving. When they migrate, they will stay for a while, but they'll eventually move on. Probably the biggest flocks we're seeing now, though, are robins and juncos. Juncos are just abundant. I saw them this morning again along the road. They often hang around open places like that where they feed on seeds, and we drive down the road and we scare up some little birds and we notice that there's some white markings on their tail. Mm-hmm. Those are juncos, a kind of sparrow. White-throat sparrows are still out here too, and I saw a flock of bluebirds this week as well. Other birds are around in migration, but not necessarily in flocks. We're still getting the woodpeckers, the flickers, migrating through. This week I saw thrushes, I saw fox sparrow, I saw winter wren. All those are examples of migrants. And then there was a few winter birds that were reported. I did not see these, but the first northern shrike and the redpoll. first red pole showed up in the region. Still some hawks coming across, Shartian hawks coming across are the number one as far as numbers go, coming across Hawk Ridge. And, of course, at night, the little tiny saw-whet owls are migrating through. This is their time. Sometimes they'll be migrating through and caught by the hundreds. When they migrate through at night, they tend to fly low, just a few feet above the ground. And so, unfortunately, they have met up with cards. And it seemed like when I was teaching, about every year, somebody would find a dead saw-whet owl that was hit on the road and brought in. In addition to that, in the world of mammals, the chipmunks have been tremendously active lately. Wow, I just every day I see them in the yard, and they are gathering stuff for their winter. And there's plenty of acorns in our yard, and so they're finding much stuff to do so. In addition to that, I heard the first flying squirrels of the season this year. Now, flying squirrels are out there all year round, but in summer, because of the shorter amount of darkness, we don't notice them very much. However, as the darkness gets longer and earlier, we may be able to hear them. I usually hear a little squeaky noise up in the trees, and that's a sign of flying squirrels. They continue to be with us all winter, and they are just a lovely, lovely critter to come to bird feeders, as they will do a little bit later in the season. We are the movement of the snakes continues. Mm-hmm. This week we had one day where it was mild, and we had some rain, and I had several kinds of frogs seen as they are moving towards a place to spend the winter. Some butterflies are still with us, the hibernating butterflies. And spiders, I might mention, we tend to overlook them when we get later in the season like this. But I don't think there's a better time of the year to observe this phenomenon known as ballooning than there is in the second half of October. Now, you've read Charlotte's Web. Everybody has read Charlotte's Web. And there is a scene in there, of course, where Charlotte lays her eggs and then dies. Now, a lot of people have trouble getting past that scene. But if you continue to read past that, the following spring, the eggs hatch, and then the babies climb up on a nearby fence, and they throw out a thread from their spinnerets, and it carries them off. This is known as ballooning, and spiders actually do that. They do a tremendous amount of ballooning. They don't have to wait till spring. They do ballooning pretty much anytime they can all year. I've seen it even in the winter. But the best time I find to see it is late October. And the reason for that is the leaves are off the trees. Mm-hmm. Many, many spiders lay their eggs in fall, and they hatch, and the babies go out. They're called spiderlings. They disperse out. And the sun is low. And if you go out, usually I find in the late afternoon, though you can see the same thing in the morning, late afternoon, and look toward the sun. Never look at the sun, but look toward the sun, and you'll see some threads in the trees. Those are what I call travel threads. They tell us that the spiders have been out there ballooning, and they travel. Now, they can go long distances. They've been reported going caught out in the ocean hundreds of miles from land.
Wow.
But they usually travel just a few inches to a foot. And then they catch the thread catches onto something, and then they go out and they make another thread. And what we see is the threads that are still left from this ballooning. And so tremendous the time to see it. You never realize how much there is and how common there is until you get out on some of these mild October, late October afternoons and take a look. So, yeah, plenty to see out there. So, okay. Yeah, and that ballooning is just one of many.
Oh, fabulous. Thank you, Larry.
Yes, and thank you for calling. Have
All
a good
right.
day.
You too. Larry Weber is a retired science teacher, twice Science Teacher of the Year. He joins us every Saturday at 9:30 to give us the latest on weekend outdoors.